Early voting has already begun in parts of Wisconsin and starts today in Madison and Milwaukee. This year will be the first time that Wisconsin's voter ID law will be in effect during a general election. The debate around voter ID has taken a lot of twists and turns in Wisconsin since it was first introduced 5 years ago. So WPR reporters Sean Johnson and Laurel White, who've been covering the changes in the state's voter ID law, teamed up with WisConText's Scott Gordon and created an interactive timeline of the law's evolution.
If you go to WPR.org/voter ID, you can see it for yourself, and you can also find out exactly what you need to vote this year. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White join us now to tell us more about that project. Sean and Laurel, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
And Sean, take us back to the beginning, and you have looked all the way back to the beginning, the history of the voter ID law and the challenges in court in Wisconsin. And right now I want to go back to 2011 when this all began. What started it?
Well, what started it is the Republicans took over state government, and voter ID is something that they'd talked about passing for, you know, really a decade. It had been vetoed by Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. They had all the wheels of state government, and they used it relatively quickly. By that summer, they had passed a voter ID law that, you know, in hindsight, was one of the most restrictive in the nation.
And what were some of the components of the law?
The major component is that you would now have to show a state-issued ID to vote, which is completely different than we'd done in Wisconsin's, you know, lengthy history in the past. I mean, there'd been this general progression of voting laws in Wisconsin that made it easier to vote, and this went the other way. I think the thing that you realize as you look at all these court cases and where they've succeeded is that the law didn't have a lot of avenues for people who not only didn't have an ID, but in some cases, indigent people who didn't have the documents they needed to get that ID. And that's where a lot of these court cases that are ongoing today are centered on, is that small group of people, but that group of people that the courts have found does not have an avenue to vote under Wisconsin's law.
And you mentioned more than one case, and I think if I've got the math right here, there have been four of them, two of them ongoing. Can you give us a brief snapshot of some of the cases? And some of them have been resolved, some not.
Yeah, this has been a truly long and convoluted legal battle. And it was actually, I mean, Laurel was talking one day and had the idea that we need to have a timeline to figure this out. I mean, as you look back at this voter ID case, even people who are in the business of law and elections, they say they've never really seen anything like this. It started in 2011 when Republicans passed the law. Shortly thereafter, you had a couple cases that were complaints that were filed in state court. Those were filed in 2011. By 2012, early 2012, Dane County Circuit Court judges, two of them, block the law, and it basically stays blocked for a couple years in state court. In 2014, a federal district court judge steps in, and he blocks the law, and so you've got it now blocked in state court and federal court. The state Supreme Court comes in and says voter ID is okay, but it doesn't matter because it's still in that federal case. Eventually, you get the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago stepping in and saying, let's implement voter ID. You know, really, just a few days later, the U.S. Supreme Court says, no, not right now, not this close to an election. And so the reason we're talking about this now is that we didn't have voter ID in 2012. We didn't have voter ID in 2014. This is going to be the first major election in November of 2016 when we've had voter ID in Wisconsin. And so looking at that timeline gives you a better idea of how we got to where we are.
And it is. I mean, it's a prodigious. I can tell the amount of work that went into this timeline that the two of you have put together. It's complicated. And so looking back at 2011, when this all began, does that initial law match what will be on the books in 2016?
No, it doesn't. I mean, big picture, it does, in that if you want to go vote in Wisconsin, you're going to have a photo ID. And so, you know, in big picture, that is going to be the case. Where it differs is on the margins, and when it comes to voters who are, you know, for whatever reason, don't have the documents they need to get an ID to vote. I mean, there's some fairly complicated cases in the most recent court case, the one Wisconsin Institute case, which Laurel covered, some fairly concrete examples of people who say there are many hurdles that are keeping me from voting. And, you know, those were persuasive not only to the district court judge, but also to the Court of Appeals in Chicago, which had stepped in and I guess been on the state of Wisconsin side in these cases before. But it's letting this most recent court case go forward, which is allowing for earlier voting in Wisconsin, and which struck down some Republican-backed laws.
We're talking to Sean Johnson and Laurel White right now. Sean Johnson is the Capitol Bureau Chief here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and Laurel White is our state Capitol reporter. And we're talking about a new resource they put together, taking a comprehensive look at the history of Wisconsin's voter ID law. And we should say it's a work in progress because there are still some dangling federal cases out there to look at. So voter ID fraud has been at the center of the conversation about this law, the debate, and initially there were, it breaks down as a partisan issue. Republicans have said that there are widespread instances of voter fraud, and Democrats have said this is a voter suppression law. Is that still the debate today?
That debate, I don't know when that debate's going to stop. I can say that federal courts are starting to look at the issue differently, and just because there's a lot more empirical evidence out there when it comes to voting laws and really a lack of instances of voter fraud of the type that voter ID would prevent. And so you're seeing federal courts dismiss the idea more and more that voter fraud, or that this idea that there's widespread voter fraud out there, is definitely less persuasive in the federal court system than it used to be. I think you even look at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Posner wrote the decision years ago for the state of Indiana that went up to the U.S. Supreme Court and is the reason that voter ID laws have been upheld in the United States. He has since had a big change of heart on voter ID laws, and Judge Posner now says that a lot of the reasoning that was put behind them in the beginning doesn't hold up, that we have this history behind us now, and he can see, at least in his mind, the reasons that he gave for upholding voter ID when he did, he's no longer on board with them. And you are seeing some other courts of appeals in the United States strike down voter ID laws. It happened recently in North Carolina. And so I think that raises the possibility that you could see another challenge in Wisconsin that would try to go at the law as a whole again.
And I'm curious from both of you. I mean, this is right now it looks to be in effect, but I'm looking at your timeline and there are a couple cases there that are still dangling. Does this mean that there could be an 11th hour turnaround here on this and there could be a halt to the law before the election?
Well, certainly not before this November election. As the cases, the two federal cases are ongoing, judges have made a point in their decisions to say, some changes that I'm requiring aren't going to be required until after the election because they don't want to disrupt the election. There's been a lot of discussion about the confusing changes for Wisconsin voters, and the courts do seem to be attempting to mitigate that confusion.
And how is that being mitigated so far?
Well, you know, the state legislature actually has had enough concern about potential voter confusion that they authorized a $250,000 voter education campaign that the State Elections Commission is carrying out. They're doing, you know, radio ads, digital ads on things like Facebook to let voters know that they do need to bring a photo ID to the polls in November. Because those who have been keyed in have been hearing, as Sean was talking about, since 2011, voter IDs on, voter IDs off. And some folks are confused about, you know, what qualifies as a voter ID, whether they need to bring it or not, and how to get one if they don't have something like a driver's license. So there's been a lot of discussion about that confusion and how to prevent it.
And we had mentioned, again, looking at your timeline, some of the provisions for people who might have trouble getting a license, getting a voter ID, I should say, for the election. And Judge James Peterson was part of this. decision, and this affects where we'll be on November 8th. So, Laurel, do you want to tell us a little bit, or Sean, either one of you who's up to speed on that, where that stands and what changes he had made?
Sure. So in Judge Peterson's decision, he actually called for the reform of this process called the IDPP, which is for people who don't have a driver's license that are trying to get a free state-issued ID for voting, but they can't locate the documents that they need to get that free state ID. So they can't find their birth certificate, they don't have a marriage certificate, anything like that. So Judge Peterson, in his decision, actually said this petition process is, I think his exact word was, disaster. So he said this petition process needs to be reformed, but we're going to wait until after November's election to do that. The petition process can stay in place as it is right now, but people who are going through the petition process should be issued a receipt, and that receipt will have their picture on it, and they can use that for voting on November 8th. So a lot of the cases right now, or the two federal cases, are focused on ways that people can vote if they don't have a traditional ID like a driver's license. So there's been a lot of discussion about that petition process. There was a possibility of an affidavit used for voting that was floated for a little bit, but that's not in place now. But what will be in place for November are those receipts.
Early voting has already started in several communities around Wisconsin, and it starts in person today in Madison and Milwaukee. This is an interesting one because at one point there were some restrictions placed upon early voting. So, Laurel, can you give us a little bit of the history there?
Right. So that was another element of Judge Peterson's decision, actually. So he struck down a lot of restrictions on early voting that had been passed in Wisconsin since 2011. He said that restrictions on early voting actually amounted to intentional racial discrimination. And he mentioned the city of Milwaukee in particular when he wrote that, saying that people who tend to utilize early voting are, you know, minority communities, the elderly, students, and that limiting those hours was discriminatory to them. So he struck down limitations on evening voting, on weekend voting, and as a result of that being struck down, we have more early voting in Wisconsin, I think, than we have ever had before.
And obviously a very complicated saga. You put it all together so that it's easy to understand. Can you tell us, if people want to go check it out, get the history of it, where can they go?
Well, they can go to WPR.org/voter ID, and we've got a Q&A on early voting. We've got a timeline that goes all the way from 2011 to today that you can track and see all of the cases and decisions. You can look at the actual court documents. And we also have a narrative history of everything if you'd prefer to read through it rather than clicking through an interactive.
And Laurel, real basic question, what does someone need to vote?
Well, if you have a state-issued driver's license, a Wisconsin driver's license, it can't be an out-of-state license, that's all you need to vote. There's a long list of other things that you can use if you don't have a driver's license. If you go to myvote.wi.gov, there's a list there. You can use, just to give you a few of those, you know, a free state-issued ID card. You can use your passport, a military ID, an identification card issued by a federally recognized Indian tribe. So there's actually a fairly extensive list. But if you have a driver's license, that's your go-to. You can definitely use that.
Thank you so much for coming on and telling us about it today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and WPR State Capitol Reporter Laurel White. You can find more info at WPR.org/voter ID.